Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios when you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time. Folks, remember, Rocket can. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take your calls, 855-212-4CBS. But that's coming up momentarily. We can't take your calls right now because at 12:48 p.m. Eastern, we got Worker Shoot. The great James Boccioni, Bocce Ball, will join us for that. He'll be the proctor of Worker Shoot. I got a strong opinion. That sounds just so ridiculous. I have a strong opinion. You better be listening. I have a strong opinion about the transfer portal coming up at 12:20 p.m. Eastern, but we are at the cusp of the Final Four, and to talk about, I was going to play the CBS music, but I don't think that would work because this guy works for Fox as a college basketball play-by-play announcer, a voice, the Big East Network as well, has his podcast, follow him on Twitter, @John_Fanna. Dare I say, he's one of the brightest, maybe the brightest young play-by-play voices in America. John Fanta joins us on the show. John, hello.
Ken Carmen, it's Final Four Saturday. Woo!
The reason I like John is because John is different from other. How old are you?
25.
The reason I like John is because he's so different from other 20-something-year-old play-by-play guys. John has a look to him. John has a personality to him. He doesn't have. What I'm saying is John doesn't look like he was made in a Lego factory the way that television play-by-play guys look like now. John, do you take that as a compliment, or do you take that as something backhanded?
What you're saying is that I had the lobster bisque last night, and I said I'd like the Lake Erie perch dinner because I'm home for Easter, and the waitress said, the three-piece? And I said, the full.
You go to Pier W is what you need to do. Damn it. That's what you need to do. The bisque is second to none. Anyway, well, I'll tell you this. Now, I mean this true. John is one of the best, and I do mean that about play-by-play guys. They're all the same. They're all doing a knockoff Jim Nantz. John Fanta isn't doing it.
I appreciate that.
It's true.
I appreciate that.
I mean that sincerely. Hey, by the way, you saw the upset last night at women's basketball, right?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Wow. McDonald was absolutely sensational for Arizona. It came out guns a-blazing. This Arizona team was really counted out by the nation. You're talking about a 14-point underdog. The Final Four put out a promotional video. Arizona was not included in it. What does that tell you?
Wow.
This team defended UConn really well, and what they did a great job of is they kept Paige Beckers from making an early impact on the game. And she has been the everything for this Connecticut Huskies team. When UConn beat South Carolina earlier this season, it was Paige Beckers who had to will them. And I think when you take her out of the game, a player as good as she is, and she's going to win national championships. In fact, I think UConn will be the number one team in the nation heading into next season. They have Beckers back and a number one player in the country coming in, and AZ Fudd, a top recruit. But this UConn team was a bit young, and because they were relying as much as they did on Beckers at times in their backcourt, shutting her down was essential for Arizona from the get-go, and the play of Ari McDonald was the difference in this game because she was the best player on the floor, and she would not let her team lose last night.
The coach of Arizona, they had the the extreme close-up after the win. And she basically told the skeptics to and there was some birds being made, and I love it. I don't think there should be any sort of an apology there. I wonder if we're blaming a straw man saying that there should be an apology. I mean, it's an extreme close-up. She's talking to her team. It's a public but private moment, and I think that's part of what you get with television, is that there's certain times where you're in on what they're saying is maybe a private moment between her and her team. And, I mean, frankly, you beat UConn. Beating UConn in itself is just huge, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's massive. This is one of the all-time great stories in women's basketball history. You're talking about an 11 in Arizona that has just kept on emerging and kept on emerging and now finds themselves in this predicament. And I have to give that coaching staff a ton of credit for their game plan. Nobody put together a better game plan than what Arizona just did. And when you think about the fact, Ken, that you're looking through tapes, you're looking through, how am I going to beat UConn? They put together the perfect game plan. They didn't win this game. They commanded UConn in this game. Connecticut does not get commanded in women's basketball. If they lose by a possession or two. They don't take bad losses, or at least losses by double figures where you know, it seemingly is just out of the question that they're going to be able to come back. Arizona controlled this game. I'm all for it. No apology needs to be issued at all. You know, we see these types of statements get made all the time. How many times has an NFL player walked through a hallway? Kirk Cousins is the first that comes to mind and said something. And there's others. There's no apology needed for a coach being fired up because her team beat the greatest program in women's basketball history and one of the greatest programs in college sports history. That would be an interesting list of rankings. Arizona deserves to say, stop, you know, shut up. They deserve to say whatever they want to say. Because you beat Connecticut, you can say whatever you'd like to say. I'm all for it. I got nothing against it. Credit to that coaching staff and the Wildcats for pulling off one of the all-time great runs in women's basketball history. Now they find themselves in a Pac-12 showdown with Stanford. It's the year of Bill Walton.
So real quick, is this the year that they have to – is this almost like the U.S. team in 1980 where you beat the Russians and it's like, hey, you got to beat Finland or people ain't going to remember this?
You know – it's such a great question.
You're damn right,
because
it is.
It's like, because you have to, if you don't win this game, then everybody just says, oh, Stanford ended up winning it and Connecticut got knocked out. We got Stanford, Connecticut taken away from us. That's the world of narratives. Look, they got to win. Yeah, you're right. They do. They have to complete the ultimate run. And if they beat Stanford tomorrow, I would put it as top three to top five greatest runs in NCAA tournament history. Because if they beat two teams as good as Connecticut and Stanford, in this tournament, oftentimes the national champion doesn't end up beating the very best competition they could get, because that best competition goes down early in the tournament when they have an off day and you're facing the Abilene Christian or the Oral Roberts, who's fired up and who's going to put everything together to beat you. This in women's basketball this year, you know, unfortunately for Arizona, fortunately for them, they're here, but they've got to go through what I think are the two best teams in Connecticut and now Stanford. They're going to have to beat the Cardinal.
It's so weird. John Fanta joining us on the show. This tournament started off with some ugliness, courtesy of the NCAA. This has turned into a really great tournament for women's basketball, something that's been really, really good for them with the storylines. Kim Mulkey the other day, the whole thing. It's been great. John Fanta joining us on the show. I got to get to UCLA and Gonzaga. Basically the same question for Gonzaga. You're in the Final Four. For my entire life since we were kids, you know, they've been the basketball school, but they've got there, but they've never actually accomplished it. Is this the year that Mark Few has to do it?
It is the year that he has to do it. It is the year that he will do it. He has the most complete offense that I've ever seen watching college basketball. And that's saying a lot, because in recent years, we've seen some complete offenses. 2018 Villanova with four of the top 35 NBA draft selections in Mikal Bridges, Dante DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson, and a Clevelander, Omari Spellman. I'll tell you, Ken, this Gonzaga team has individual stars who are going to make a living for a long time in the association, and they sacrifice their individual skill set for the greater good of a team. And I know that sounds cliche, but right now this is a sport that even the blue blood coaches are having trouble figuring out how they're maneuvering that, how they are maneuvering their way around the idea of look, a lot of players walk into that gym, and I'm all for swagger, but a lot of players walk in saying, I'm the best player on the floor. How do you get that to coexist in 2021? It's different. And Mark Few has gotten it to work time and time again. Now is his time this weekend. You're facing a UCLA team that has been tremendous defensively and is riding this magic carpet ride. But outside of Johnny Juzang and at times Jaime Jaquez, this is not a Bruins team that has enough scoring prowess to beat the likes of Jalen Suggs, who I think is going to be a top 3 to 5 NBA draft pick and will make a living for a long time in this league. Andrew Nembhard and Joel Ayayi. When you've got three guards and any of the three would be the number one option on a team, that tells us everything we need to know in a backcourt game. But then you combine that with the staple to Gonzaga. They have trees out in Spokane. And Corey Kispert and Drew Timmy are just flat out tremendous. They are. And nobody's had an answer for Timmy. I think he's going to give UCLA a world of trouble. I think Gonzaga wins this game today. I think UCLA will hang in because Mick Cronin has a game plan that limits the possessions, makes it more of a meat grinder. But if Gonzaga gets up by 8, it's going to feel like 15 or 16 because that's how UCLA's offense has been going. And I think the Bruins are going to cut down the nets on Monday night. As much as Baylor will give them the game, Gonzaga will cut down the nets on Monday night. As much as Baylor will give them the game, in my opinion, the Zags are going to be national champions.
John Fanta joining us on the show, college basketball play-by-play broadcaster for Fox Sports, also Big East Network. You also find him on ESPN+. Plus. The whole shebang is fantastic. Mick Cronin, this is year two. They had to do a play-in game. They start off 22-9. They're back in the Final Four, first time since what, 08, I think it is?
Yeah.
Is UCLA basketball back?
They're back.
This can continue. This will continue with Mick Cronin?
This will continue with Mick Cronin. Mick Cronin is someone whose coaching in-game sticks out. Is it sexy? Is it compelling? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It's not always pretty. But the teams that can figure out a way to play that way in a world of iso ball and break you down and 1v1, that's what can win in this tournament. That's what can win in this tournament. It is exactly what Loyola Chicago used to beat Illinois. Loyola Chicago said, you know what, Illinois, we're going to force you into the half court, and you've got tremendous individual playmakers. We're going to have them try to beat us with their individual playmaking. And we're going to make sure that you don't find passing lanes to find others. And for the most part, Loyola Chicago did that. I thought it was one of the most impressive performances of this entire tournament because they dominated Illinois. Going back to UCLA, they have played a style that's run their way through this tournament that hasn't been pretty. But what they made Michigan, Juwan Howard's team has been so well-rounded, Ken. They move the ball well. They get Wagner and Dickinson involved, but they also have Mike Smith at the point guard. You know what I saw down the stretch in the Michigan-UCLA game? I saw Michigan trying to revert back to, hey, we've got some star power here. Let's see if we can get these guys on an island and make a shot or make a play. And how many bunnies did they miss? They missed a couple of key shots. But that's, for me, why UCLA is a really good team in this tournament because of the style in which they play. And let's be frank. Mick Cronin could not get the type of kid at Cincinnati that he can get at UCLA.
Yeah.
UCLA has never had a recruiting problem. A kid walks on campus and sees John Wooden everywhere and sees trophies and thinks, and then walks outside and thinks, Westwood, I can go to In-N-Out, I can go to the beach, I can enjoy 75-degree weather. What am I thinking here? I'm not going to think twice. Mick Cronin's always going to be able to get talent. He has a throwback style that has seemingly won so many games. It's why he is the UCLA coach to begin with. The Bruins are back. They showed a flash of it last year but the season got cut short. I thought they had as good of a February in the 2019-20 season as anybody in college basketball, but it all got clouded away. We all forgot about it because of the pandemic. The Bruins are here to stay because he can get kids he couldn't get at Cincinnati at UCLA, and he coaches a style that sticks out, and that's what you need in this sport to win.
John Fanta with us on the show. He says Gonzaga's going to go wire to wire. They're going to win the national championship. Roy Williams retired after 33 years, John. I want Rasheed Wallace to take that job. He won't get it. Who should be the next head coach at UNC, and then who is going to be the next head coach at UNC?
Man, do I get so many Palace of Auburn Hills vibes when you just say the name Rasheed Wallace for so many reasons.
I just love him.
The game.
Does it have to be, let me ask you this, does it have to be a former player? Like, I'm making jokes, but does it have to be a former player? Like, they went down that road with Matt Doherty, and that was a disaster. So what do they do?
But here's the thing. This is the dynamic here, and I think this dynamic gets figured out over the coming days. Here's the problem. You're talking about one of three guys in men's basketball with the 900-plus wins and somebody who is going to stay in the picture. And North Carolina's made that clear. So either you're going to keep Roy Williams in the picture and you're going to hire Hubert Davis as the head coach, or you're going to hire Wes Miller from UNC Greensboro, or you at some point are going to say, hey, Roy, we just don't like our options. You know, this is the direction we're going. Like, this is where it comes down to who really has the control. Who has the control of this hire? Because I myself, Ken, think they need to go outside the family. I think they have to find somebody that makes sense from a coaching perspective, and that you could factor in with a staff of people that you could staff a former Carolina player. You could get, you know, another guy like a John Beilein. Like, there's plenty of guys, not John Beilein as the head coach. I'm saying on staff.
Yeah.
For me, I think they've got to go outside the family, because I see Hubert Davis and I see Wes Miller, and I kind of shake my head. I got to be honest with you. I just don't know if that's the best option for North Carolina basketball going forward. So with that being said, I go outside the family. I thought that, like, 2 years ago, if you asked me, I thought Chris Beard was going to be a future blue blood coach, and he still might be, but Texas made sure that they locked him up earlier this week. Bill Self was never going to go to Carolina. Anybody who thinks Jay Wright's going to go from Villanova to Carolina, it's not going to happen. They have to do some serious homework here, potentially. It's not like there's a no-brainer name that's out there right now. And that's where I think they might say, hey, we'll hire Hubert Davis. He'll be the head coach. If it doesn't work out in 2 or 3 years, then we'll pursue the sexy name when that name becomes available. But right now on the coaching carousel, unless you're getting a cast-off from somewhere, there's not a lot of names that make a whole lot of sense for this job.
I mean, I keep wondering, and it's a hope. I don't think it's serious, but
it's a hope.
I just keep thinking, can we turn Brad Stevens into Nick Saban? Can we turn him into Nick Saban with the Dolphins? And I'm not leaving, and then he actually leaves. Can we do this with Brad Stevens here?
Oh, I mean, it is such a hope, and I could tell you, I was at Hinkle Fieldhouse last week when literally as the Mike Woodson news dropped.
Yeah.
And Ken, even though it was limited attendance, I'm looking around Hinkle Fieldhouse. Everybody's on their phones. And that's normal during a timeout. But people are the look of shock on faces. Like the look of, because Hinkle's in Indiana, and as mm-hmm. much as there were the Butler fans were shocked, because they're like, what? Like this is who Indiana's getting? Everybody was. The Gonzaga and Creighton fans that were in the building. I'm just looking around at all these shocked faces. Even in press row, I'm looking around at press row, and the keyboards rolling, and Jeff Goodman was sprinting around the concourse. I'm thinking, what is going on?
Yeah.
He likes to run. I really want Brad Stevens to happen in college basketball, because, like, look at what he did for this sport 10 years ago. It's now 10 years ago since those great Butler teams. But Brad Stevens has said, you know, he's engulfed in the Boston area culture, and he's a Patriots fan, and he drives his, you know, his mid-sized car to work every day with his Dunkin' Donuts and likes listening to Bill Belichick. Like, he's really stayed away from any of that. And he's probably said what needs to be said, but I just can't see this guy going from the Celtics to Carolina. They could offer him a boatload of money, and maybe his mind changes, but and it's the dream scenario for North Carolina. But just talking with people around the sport and in the NBA, Brad Stevens hasn't even given it a thought. You know, he plans to keep on going with Boston.
Follow him on Twitter, @John_Fanna. Great with basketball, great with sports. John, we'll talk at you again soon, bud.
Ken, always a pleasure. Hope you and your listeners have a happy Easter, Passover, whatever it may be that they're celebrating, and have a great Saturday. I hope a tall boy's in your order.
Oh, absolutely. John Fanta joining us on the hotline. Again, follow him on Twitter @John_Fanta. 855-212-4CBS. Work or shoot coming up in 20 minutes. Also, just once, can we just not blame the young people? Give me one circumstance. Next on CBS Sports Radio. Work or shoot, 12:40 p.m. Eastern, John Ledyard, Pewter Report. I'm going to run Mock Draft 2.0 by him coming up at 1 p.m. Eastern, 855-212-4CBS. When I was 7 years old, my parents moved to the house they live in now. And when we first moved, I remember it being a long process. We moved ourselves, and boy, moving sucks. It sucked then, it sucked now, and moving always will suck. And when we moved, we first started staying at the new house. And the first week we were there, all the furniture wasn't there. And I remember I was laying on the floor, and my dad was watching TV. He brought his chair into the living room. And I'm laying on the floor, and my dad's watching TV. And I remember it was a Saturday night, because Saturday Night Live was on. I was probably 7, 8 years old at that time. And I'm just bored, and I see an outlet, and there's a alarm clock sitting there. And I'm messing with the outlet. I'm messing with the alarm clock. The alarm clock is plugged into the outlet, and I'm messing with it. My dad is sitting there watching Saturday Night Live, smoking, as he used to do, and watching me do it. And I fiddled with it for about 3-4 minutes, and then I shocked myself. I looked at my dad, and I started crying because I shocked myself. My dad takes a long draw of a basic 100 full flavor, exhales, looks down at me and says, "Bet you're not going to do that again, are you?" And then look back at the TV. Didn't blame me. Knew that there are certain things that I'm just going to have to make mistakes with. Hopefully I'm not going to kill myself, but there's certain things I have to make mistakes with. And it happens in our personal lives with our family, and it happens in real life too, amongst society, amongst America, around the world. There's things that we didn't see before that we now see and that we have to guard ourselves from. You know I'm a big race fan. There used to be a time where guys didn't wear fire suits. They wore short sleeves. They barely wore helmets, and if they did, they were basically like skull caps. They rarely wore seat belts. Things change. We learn things. We learn that's not something you do. That's not something that we should do. We should be safer about these things. We learn it over time. We learn through experiences. And it's the same thing with our society that it is in our sports, what it is with ourselves. I saw 1,100 players in the transfer portal earlier this week. At the time I tweeted, there was 1,000. And I knew I was going to see it, and sure as hell I did. Dickie V lined up, and he started blaming the players. We're using terms quitter. We're using terms ego. Can we just once, for us, I've lived it. I've been fooled before. I'll be fooled again. I think it's become so easy, and it's become cliche for experienced fools to blame naive youth. 1,100 transfer portal players in the transfer portal is excessive. There is a lot. There are probably some players who may be, yeah, they're full of ego. They believe they're better than what they are. They get filled with attitude. That's what 18, 19-year-olds do. I didn't have to play college sports to be an arrogant 18, 19-year-old Ken Carman and have to be beaten down by life later on. The real world did that enough for me. The real world will do that enough for them. But if we want to just sit there and blame youth instead of thinking critically, we're not going to learn these lessons fast enough. Because while you want to blame young people for having the egos you did and blame that instead of working with it, we'll continue to have the type of problem that we're having right now. Or we'll have it for longer. Because there is such a thing as it working itself out. We give the players the freedom to move. We give the players to move without penalty. We offer them the opportunity for something better, knowing that the grass isn't always greener. It's that way in real life. We have to learn from mistakes, personally, professionally, wherever it may be. And with 1,100 players in the transfer portal, yeah, but you know what? They're not all quitters. Maybe instead of calling them quitters, we should look at what's happened for generation after generation after generation of certain AAU coaches, certain friends of the family, quote-unquote uncles, college coaches who have seedy backgrounds, who are in it for themselves, who maybe started with the right intentions, but as time goes on, they become about themselves. They blame players, people who will leave institutions very, very quickly. Maybe we should look at ourselves as 30-plus-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60s and 70s and down the line. Maybe we should look at ourselves and remember where we were and the generations of people who've been lied to that don't get that opportunity the way that these players get. Yes, this is a bottleneck and a dangerous one at that. There will be good basketball players who don't get opportunities this coming year because they bet on themselves and they lost. That's a shame. But instead of blaming, can we just for a moment know that this is going to take time to course correct? Like anything else we learn in life, there are things that are dangerous, and people continue to go and do dangerous things, fulfill dangerous behavior, until we learn we're not supposed to do it. And let the youth make their own mistakes. It's easy for me to sit there and judge. I've already made those mistakes. I've already been stupid. There are good people in college sports who try to help out players who do try to do the right thing, and I still believe the majority of them try to do the right thing. That might be seen as stupid. I might be sticking my head in the sand. Maybe you're more cynical than I am about these things. I do think that there are plenty of people who, yep, they do make a lot of money. They do get a lot of run, but they do believe in the betterment of the player. They do believe in the betterment of the young person. And to call the young person a quitter, well, I don't know what that young person's going through. I don't know if I can just label that person a quitter, but maybe they just need to learn the hard way. Like I did with a light socket, or like 1,100 players here in the transfer portal might have to learn this coming summer. It's going to be a tough one. But I hope that, yeah, later generations learn from this experience that the grass isn't always greener, the situation's not always guaranteed, and that there are plenty of people who we believe are in positions of power and have our best interests are going to lie right to our face. And they'll find somebody better, and I'll be in the exact same situation if I'm lucky at another place. Generations of mistruths have led to 1,100 players plus being in the transfer portal. It's happened in football. It's happening in basketball. It's going to take a while to course correct. It will, but there's going to be hard lessons learned here. 855-212-4CBS. Up next, work or shoot. Bocce ball's running it. It's Ken Carman on CBS Sports Radio right now, the latest sports update with Marco Belletti. Mock Draft 2.0, the top 10, coming up at 1 p.m. Eastern. John Ledyard will join us, Pewter Report. He's a draft guru. Great guy. Talk to him coming up at 1 p.m. Eastern. Also, there are some things more important than money, and we saw proof, real proof, earlier this week. Which, I don't know, I'm going to talk about it because it's actually very close. I'm very close to that situation. It's going to be pretty weird for everybody involved. But, hey, you know what? We'll do it. It's going to be fantastic. But it's time for work or shoot. Hit it. And today, we have the same proctor as last week, but a new proctor still. Ladies and gentlemen, a man whose future father-in-law is a drug dealer in Brooklyn, James Boccioni. Hello.
Thanks for the introduction, Ken. Wonderfully done.
You're welcome.
And it is true. He is, you know, he owns multiple corners in Brooklyn. It's, we ready to go, Ken?
One person's pharmacist is Ken Carmen's drug dealer. I'm ready to go. Let's get going. Well, right. Oh, of course, I have to explain Work or Shoot like I do every single week. Work or Shoot is true or false, except it's false or true. But I don't like to say true or false or true because that would be just the same old also-ran statement. So I like to say Work or Shoot because a work is false and a shoot is true. Confused? You won't be as we go through Work or Shoot. Hit it!
Newly acquired Dallas Mavericks guard J.J. Redick ripped his former team, the Pelicans, this past week on his own podcast, saying he had asked for a trade closer to his family in Brooklyn earlier in the season and had even hoped for a buyout, but instead was shipped even further away from his preferred destination. Despite the especially recent trend we've seen of NBA, being a highly player-driven league, Redick, a 15-year veteran, was unable to get his way. Work or shoot. J.J. Redick and his 110 career postseason games deserves more respect than what the Pelicans gave him.
That's a work. That's a work. Listen, I'm sure that J.J. Redick wants to be close to his family for good reasons, all right? I don't necessarily know what those are right off the top, but it's your deal is your deal. And if you want out, they do not necessarily owe it to you to make sure you get traded to the place you want to. Now, I'm not sure of J.J. Redick's personal situation. Maybe there's reasons he wants to be that close to his family, but if it is that serious, maybe some time away would be that much better. But this seems to be, as far as I know, James, is this for leisure? Like, he just wants to be close to his family because he just wants to be close to his family? Is that it?
Yeah, as far as I know, it's just that he just wanted to be closer to his family.
We can't always get what we want. We can't always get what we want, and you make enough money where a lot of guys are able to fly to and fro. We're getting to April. Your season will be over here shortly. So I'm sure you'll be able to spend plenty of time with your family here coming up. I mean, you've chosen a tough business, but a very lucrative business, and you've traded that in for time with your family. And I don't need to be sensitive over every single situation just because a guy wants to be closer to home, closer to family, whatever like that. If you want to retire and spend a bunch of time, you go right on ahead. Again, this is I know this only is for his leisure. I do not know if there's any serious situation at home that he needs to tend to. But you are compensated enough where no, they don't owe you. They don't owe you anything, and you're still not a player that is the upper echelon 1%. So you could say David Griffin lied to you. I don't think he lied to you. I think he did what was in the best interest of his basketball team. And frankly, you're the one who wanted out. So, yeah, you owe it to him that he can do the best interest of his basketball team and you can finish the season in Dallas. Next.
Staying in New Orleans, the Pelicans replaced Redick by signing point guard Isaiah Thomas to a 10-day contract. Thomas is expected to make his Pelicans debut tomorrow in a road matchup against the Rockets after not playing since being waived by the Clippers just before last year's trade deadline. Now 32 years old, Thomas has averaged 18.8 points and 5 assists through his 9 years in the NBA and averaged 12.2 points and 3.7 assists in 40 games last year before being waived. Work or shoot, Isaiah Thomas can still contribute at the NBA level.
I think that's a work. That's a work. It's a 10-day contract, but he hasn't played in a long time. It just depends on what your definition of contribution is. Like, yeah, he could go in there and maybe provide some quality minutes over the week, but I don't know if there's anything there. I respect Isaiah Thomas for what he's done in his career. I think that he was robbed by injury, but I really respect what Isaiah Thomas has done in his career because at one point, I mean, this was an MVP candidate in this league, and like a comet across the sky, it's gone. And when you see the upper echelon 1% NBA players, I don't think that Isaiah Thomas fills that role. And he had a wonderful run in Boston. So there should be a lot of respect. This is a land still of unreal athletes, giants, still the land of giants. More three-point shooting, more wing play than we've ever seen before. But still a land of abnormal athletes. And he is an incredible athlete, don't get me wrong, but he is of a different stature, of a different style than all those other guys. To have that type of run is very impressive. So while I say no now, that doesn't mean to put disrespect on his career. Next.
Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers is set to make his two-week Jeopardy guest host debut on Monday, joining a decorated list of fill-in hosts who have taken over the program since the passing of legend Alex Trebek. Rodgers, a celebrity contestant himself back in 2015, says he has watched hours and hours of film in order to prepare for the role, and speaking about the Jeopardy executive said, quote, "They weren't ready for me. Work or shoot, Aaron Rodgers' Jeopardy guest host appearance will be well-received by all Jeopardy fans."
Ooh, all Jeopardy fans?
All Jeopardy
fans. That's a work. That's a work. There are people who take it very seriously. I'm interested in seeing it. Maybe he's gearing up for what he could do later on. I think it should be Ken Jennings' job. That's a different game show. That's a serious game show that has respect, that's admired and revered. Alex Trebek made it that way. The people that show up on that show make it that way as well. I mean, people prepare all their lives and take multiple tests. I knew a guy. I used to work with a guy who was on Price is Right and was fantastic on that, was on plenty of game shows, and his whole life's work was to be on Jeopardy, and he just could not get in. Like, he was a big game show guy, and he just could not get on Jeopardy. Like, people work their entire lives to get on that show. That's a revered show. I still think it's Ken Jennings' job. It should be Ken Jennings' job to lose. But Aaron Rodgers hosting it will be interesting. I'm sure there will be people who hate it because it's a subjective thing. So that's why I have to say work. But it gives me an idea. If we're going to have all this rigmarole about the top quarterbacks, should they play public Jeopardy against each other? Instead of a Wunderlich test, should they play public Jeopardy, live Jeopardy against each other? The top three quarterbacks. Throw a tournament of champions in there if you really want to. I mean, what's a Wunderlich test when we can go and judge guys in a game of Jeopardy? What do you think? I think it's a good idea.
I love it.
Thank you very much. You can have it right there at the Combine. Have the Jeopardy challenge. Alex Trebek. God rest his soul. Sorry, old habits, folks. Aaron Rodgers. Ken Jennings can host it, and then Aaron Rodgers, after he's retired, he can host the football Jeopardy, a week of Jeopardy at the NFL Combine. That'd be a blast. And instead of your Wunderlich, you have that. Next.
The Chicago White Sox held a tribute to teammate Eloy Jimenez as they took the field on opening day, bringing his jersey out with them on the field, then proceeding to hang it up for the entire game in the dugout, displaying it in a shrine-like fashion. Luckily, Jimenez is still indeed with us and is only set to miss about 6 months of the season due to a torn pectoral muscle. But if you watch the White Sox game, you might have thought something much, much worse has happened to him. Work or shoot, the White Sox tribute to their injured teammate was over the top.
Boy, you're really putting me in a spot here, aren't you? Whew, this is a spot. Shoot. It's a torn pec, right?
Right.
Can you play the shoot sound effect again? Yeah, it's a little... I know you love him. I know he means a lot to you. It's a little much. It's a little much. A bit too much, I would say. A little weirded out, okay? Next.
Angels DH Albert Pujols hit his first home run of the year last night. Pujols went deep in the bottom of the fourth, bringing his career home run total to 663. Now 41, Pujols is in the final year of his 10-year mega contract with the Angels and is unsure whether or not he'll be retiring at the end of the season. Work or shoot, Albert Pujols will reach 700 career homers by the time he hangs up the cleats.
Oh, man, he's getting there, man. He's 41. He's at 663, right?
At 663.
So you got a hit. Yeah, you only need, what's the math on that? 37? That 37 more home runs?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, he can do it. He's got to stay in the American League. He'll play this year. He said he's unsure of retiring, right?
Yeah, he's not sure he's retiring, and he doesn't have a contract yet for next
year.
Okay,
finish this year. Oh, come on. Someone's got to be willing to sign Albert Pujols for a year next year, as long as he finishes this one. You make him a DH. You keep him a DH. You have him go out there and see if he can hit 700 home runs. He's only 37 away. I mean, hell, with launch angles, he should be able to fart a couple over the fence, shouldn't he? I think, yeah, that is a shoot. Get him to 700 home runs. He's a good guy. If he wants to keep playing, he might just retire. Gosh. It used to be the 500 home run threshold. Like, he's a Hall of Famer. So does he need to hit 700 home runs? Does he need to get to that line? No. But if he has like a decent home run season this year, like say he hits 20 home runs this year, right, Bocce Ball? So that puts him at 682 altogether, right? Because he started with 662, correct?
Right.
So that would put him at 682. You need 18 more home runs, but man, the body can lie. I will say yes. I still say a shoot, but I want to see someone give him a shot. Someone give him a shot to bring him in and see if he can get to 800 with somebody. But you know, maybe you're just happy with 682 by the time it's done. I mean, 18 more home runs, depending on how your body can take it at 42 years old, it might be much easier said than done. But I'm still going to say yes. I believe in Albert Pujols. Good dude. I'm going to say yes, he ends with over 700. Is that work or shoot?
That is work or shoot.
You've done a hell of a job. I mean, you did it. I'm proud of you, Bocce Ball.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you. You did a hell of a job with that. Yeah, get him to 800. Give him to 700. It's a fantastic career by Albert Pujols. Fantastic career by Albert Pujols. 855-212-4CBS. I got a question, and I'm going to have to ask it to John Ledyard when we come back. When I do the mock draft, should it be prediction? Should it be opinion? Should I do both? I'm going to ask that to John Ledyard, Pewter Report, NFL draft expert, 1 p.m. Eastern, and some things are more important than money. You heard proof of it earlier this week. It's Ken Carmen, CBS Sports Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.